Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are taking up 1 Peter 1:14 and the issue of obedient children with a concentration upon the thought of what difference Christ makes in the lives of those who trust in Him. The text says, "As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts, as in your ignorance, but," it goes on to say, "as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." This is what obedient children do, obedient children of the Heavenly Father. They disconform themselves, that's a word that I just made up, but they work at removing themselves from conformity to this world and work at submitting themselves to the holiness of God, the conformity that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Admittedly, it's not a one-time zap. It is a lifelong endeavor, but it is an endeavor that the obedient children of God are engaged in. In fact, so necessary is this that it becomes a mark of true conversion. For those who are truly saved are engaged in this, are involved in this endeavor, and those who are merely professing Christians without any true regeneration in their lives, without having truly been born into the family of God, are those who treat this lightly. They're not really concerned about conforming themselves to Jesus Christ and removing the conforming marks of this world from their lives. So we need to look at this verse very carefully to make sure that we are understanding what God the Holy Spirit says to us here. Thank you for joining me on this Friday, April 26, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us on this station. Well, we're looking at this text under the divisions of number one, who we are, number two, who we were, and number three, what is expected of us now. And who we are, if we are Christians, is obedient children. That's the opening line. As obedient children, obedient to their Heavenly Father, which is the inevitable result of conversion. Not simply a preferred result, but the inevitable result of conversion. Not perfect obedience, but nevertheless significant obedience. This text in itself should be enough to settle the so-called lordship controversy that raged back in the 80s, and yet still is a problem in the minds of some, because I still occasionally run across a Christian website that is warring against this, what they call this erroneous doctrine of lordship salvation. Well, what lordship salvation is just simply the recognition that it is impossible to truly receive Jesus as Savior while you are rejecting Him as Lord. That's another impossibility. You can't chop Him up into pieces. When you receive Jesus, when you believe on Jesus, when you are joined to Jesus, you are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is Lord. That song that we sometimes sing, He is Lord, He is Lord, He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the difference between those who are saved and those who are lost is those who are saved are those who bow to His lordship now. Those who are lost are those who will be forced to bow at some future time when they are brought into his presence and will unwillingly bow, but nevertheless will bow to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. For every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. So the difference is you either bow to the Lordship of Christ now, or to the saving of your soul, or you refuse until that day when you will do it, but it'll be too late as far as salvation is concerned. That's what the gospel is, essentially, is a command to submit to Jesus Christ as Lord. And those who don't understand that, I wonder if they really understand the gospel at all. What the gospel does is restore fallen sinners to their pre-fallen state. That's exactly what the gospel does. What was it that plunged the human race into sin in the garden? It was throwing off the authority of God. Instead of obediently submitting to his commands, Adam and Eve said, "Well, I'm not so sure about that command. I don't know if that's so important. I don't think I'm going to do it. I look at this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and it looks like it's a good tree to me." God said to not eat it. Why is he forbidding me to do something that I knows to be that I think is good for me? I'm going to make that decision, and thus removing themselves from under the authority of their rightful authority. God has a right to be an authority in our lives, and so Adam and Eve removed themselves from that authority. Well, what does the gospel do? It restores rebels to their proper condition as obedient sons. What we were created for. But it does so by bringing us to acknowledge our sin, which is, what is sin? It is failing to submit to the Lordship of Christ, to the authority of Christ. Every time we sin, that's what we do. We say, "I will not obey you, who are the rightful Lord, but I will instead obey my own desires." That's sin. And what do we do when we confess our sin? We acknowledge that we were wrong and that he has every right to command us and that he is right to identify that behavior as sin. And we acknowledge that we were wrong, that we sinned, and that we failed to submit ourselves in obedience to his proper authority in our lives. And we acknowledge that as wrong. We confess that as sin. And we submit ourselves to the authority of Christ. That's what confession is. That's what repentance is. You can't be a Christian without these things. That's what it is to become a Christian, is to walk away from your selfish, self-centered rebellion, this idea that I'm in charge of my life, I am master of my fate, I am Lord of my life, and instead saying, I yield to Jesus Christ as my rightful Lord, I relinquish my control of my life and my right to decide what is right and wrong, I yield all that to him, I acknowledge that that's his place, not mine. And I confess my sin. I turn from my sin, my rebellion, my disobedience to the authority of Christ. And I submit to that. I repent of my wrong and I embrace Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And that's what it is to come to Christ. That's what it is to be saved. And that's why Peter can address all Christians that he's writing to as obedient children. Now, in the theology of some people, there are two categories of Christians. There are obedient ones and disobedient ones. There are Christians who submit to the Lordship of Christ as all Christians ought to do. And then there are Christians who haven't surrendered to Jesus as Lord yet. They've only taken him as Savior, but they haven't yet surrendered to Jesus as Lord. We encourage them to do that. We exhort them to do that. We urge them to do that. We remind them that if they don't do that, they're going to get to heaven without any rewards, but at least they'll get to heaven. I think not. It's all wrapped up together. There really is no true saving faith while remaining in rebellion against the rightful authority of Jesus Christ as Lord. You can't say, "Thank you, Jesus, I'll take your salvation, but no thank you. I will not acknowledge your authority in my life. Sorry, it doesn't work that way." When you truly believe on Jesus, it is a surrender. It is a submission. It is a commitment of your life to Jesus Christ. Again, we're not talking about sinless obedience because we still have the remnants of our Adamic fallenness that we are battling. That's that battle with the flesh that goes on until we are called into Christ's presence and we are entirely sanctified at that day. We become completely holy. But there is this ongoing process of holiness, which in a sense is a fresh submission to Jesus Christ as Lord on a daily basis, yes, even many times throughout the day. That's what we do every time we become conscious of sin and we confess our sins. That's what we're doing. We're resubmitting ourselves to the Lordship of Christ. And so who is Peter writing to? He is writing to professing, baptized followers of Christ who are endeavoring to please him in their daily walk. Obedient children. Children of obedience as to our nature. It's a description. It's a category. There are only two kinds of people in this world. There are disobedient rebels, and there are obedient children of God. That's the only two categories. God's children are distinguished from the sons of disobedience that the Bible refers to in a number of places. A child is by definition of the same nature as its parents. Who are my parents? They're the ones who gave me my nature. I am of the same nature as my parents. A child of God is of the same nature as God, at least the same nature as Christ in his perfect humanity, submitted to the Heavenly Father, endeavoring to do his will, and working toward, with the operation of the Holy Spirit in his heart, working toward that perfect obedience which will be ours in his presence someday. And so obedience is a manifestation of family relationships and resemblances. And obedience indicates the character of God's children. So who are we? We are fallen sons of Adam, who have been transformed by the life-giving power of God's Holy Spirit and made sons of God by the implantation of the new nature. We are, therefore, obedient children if we have been saved by the grace of God. We will take this up again, Lord willing, on Monday. I trust you'll join me then. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.